Neun. Neun. Super. Ne, du war ja.
By late July, Fred Dibner and his mate Donald were near the end of the sad but lucrative job of demolishing the last fancy chimney top in Bolt.
It'll never look the same again.
Oh, no, that nice top's gone now.
With all that trouble they
another,
went to.
Another 5 or 6 feet.
A big when we get that off there, level all the way around, it'll do.
Level with the know. Planks?
Yeah, yeah, we'll get the iron band on and ladders down.
Well, that's ready, isn't it, for going on here?
Thank God. Like, how many days have we been lowering them down now?
Oh, only 33 days, actually, lowering.
And how many tubs full?
1,071.
Yeah. Oh, we only get about 16 bricks in a bucket, don't we? Oh.
That's a lot of bricks, though. It's 50 tonnes come down.
Yeah. Mm. It was like Easter, weren't it, when we started? Yeah. But, I mean, the bloody winds never stopped blowing and it's rained every other day.
And the holidays, other jobs we've done.
Yeah, and then we've done a few other jobs, haven't we?
Another week, we should have been ready for lowering the ladders off.
Yeah, without a doubt. If it don't rain.
Weather permitted. Ah, there was a lad came round the other day and he said, is that Fred up there? I said, yes. Oh, he said, he looks ready for leaving school. And he said, oh, I'm thinking of doing this job when I leave school. So I said, oh yes. He said, are you taking it all down? I said, oh no. I said, just to 40 feet, I said, about a yard above the bottom planks. And he turned around and said, what's a yard? So I said, well, I said, 3 feet. I said, and he looked gormless like me, and that's what they must teach them at school now. And then he turned around and said, well, what's inside all those bricks? Well, I said, there's nothing inside, just a damn big hole going up to the top. So, education. Following day, another chappy came round and said, has he ever fallen off? And I said, no, not yet. Anyway, I said, the next fellow that asked me that, I'm going to say yes, but I caught him.
Now that they were below the level of the heavy masonry, the job was going quickly, aided perhaps by a general feeling of celebration occasioned by the royal wedding, which was to take place the next day.
We could have come on bloody engine if I'd have known that, like I said, we're heading in the right direction, aren't we? Lot get me 50 mile this, you know, this lot. If you give it me, I use a lot of coal, you know. Not fair, is it? There's some of lads get sponsored with National Coal Board, you know, on bloody big long journeys. Right.
Hey,
thanks very much. Yeah. I'll just pinch one or two of these big lumps, you know.
Holiday time. Every year, Fred and his family prepare for an epic journey with their steamroller from their home in Bolton to a steam rally at Chelford in Cheshire.
Come on, Fred. Right.
Don't look so pleased about this trip. Who's going to work the brake when we go down the hill?
Jane can.
Hmm? Right. We're all ready to set off. All hang on tight, right? When you get fed up, you can go in the van then.
The distance from Bolton to Chelford, their destination, is little more than 20 miles as the crow flies. But Fred and his engine in no way rival the crow.
just have a quick pint and a packet of crisps before we go. Come on. Yeah. Don't get run over. Yeah, buckles of pop time. Yeah. We'll just have these and then we'll zoom off up the road. Eh? Come on, Caroline. Drink up. Easier driving a bloody steam engine when you've had a pint or two. Sort of, if you have had a little bit of beer, it sort of eases the pain a bit, you know. It's sort of a lot less bumpy and bangy than when you're stone cold sober, you know. It's bloody painful. Bloody hell, there's old fellas at 70-odd, you know, who sort of... Doctors keep saying, unless you get rid of that thing, it'll kill you. And more often than not, it does kill them, you know, sort of thing. They've gone, oh, like Ned's passed on to the other land, you know. Fell off his engine, you know. I don't know, there's something about a steam engine that gives you a grand feeling of power, an important sort of thing, because... You know, the chuffing and the huffing, you know, like people pay hundreds of pounds for records, don't they, of the sound of a Black Five pulling 40 wagons of coal, you know, and they sit there in raptures listening the damn thing rattling up some hill, and it's that noise, you know, that does it, you know, the rattling and the shaking and the chuff, 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 chuff. Very funny, really, with the motor cars. Like, there's two main things that go wrong. Number one, if, say, you're approaching some traffic lights and you start making your preparations to come to a graceful stop when some bloody clown in a TR2 or something will come right under the front, you see, and you can't see him at all, so you've got to take drastic action, you know, like Casey Jones' job, you know, angle back regulator open sort of thing. And then screw the bloody brakes on when you set off backwards, sort of style. But the other thing, the people who are, I suppose, in a way, genuinely interested in steam engines, and they come by in the motor cars, and you can actually watch them turn round, and they're actually driving that way, but looking backwards. And one instance I recall very well, where I was going up a big hill, you know, making a lot of fuss and a lot of smoke, chuff, 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 and cobs of cinders coming out the funnel. And at the top of the hill was a bus stop, and a bloke come by in this car. So I turn round, look up towards the engine, and the next thing, push into back of bus. I'd had a pint or two, so next left turn, I went round there out to run. Kept on going in a different direction. Some water.
Hiya.
Come and give us a pound with you.
Yeah, tap. Not the key.
Yeah. Key for turning it on. Now the authorities sort of keep an eye shut towards it, but really it is illegal to go stealing water from hydrants. you can apply for a licence, but everybody pinches a bit of water, and sort of in my opinion, I think that they should pay us an annual fee for testing water hydrants, because half the damn things don't bloody work anyway, you know, and sort of you arrive with your little steam engine in the middle of the night and lift the bloody lid off and it's full of mud. You know, you imagine if you lived in the house across the road and it were burning down and the fire brigade arrived, you know, they've got to dig all that bloody mud out, you know. I mean, we've already done it for them.
Come on, stick it in. Go on, have a go. Yeah, I'll give you a... No, just leave it alone for a bit. Let's see what comes out its other end, though.
Every time we stop, which with this particular type of engine, it'll do about 7 or 8 miles on 80 gallon of water. Sort of, this public service comes in every 7 or 8 miles.
Can you, Jane, can you hold this one? Keep your eye on Clifton.
Really, the quicker you can do it, the better. And I've got a call on the services of the wife and the kids, and, you know, they all do quite well, right? You know, they're all under, very well trained for the water, because it's very important, you know. I mean, we let the damn thing go too low, right? You know, we'd have an explosion and wreck half the neighbourhood.
It's coming out.
Oh, it isn't. It's not full up yet.
It will.
It's not. You're not holding the pipe right. Turn it off quick. Bloody hell. Oh, wet through, you know.
This caravan at the back is literally a wooden box on wheels that, in the days of the steamrolling contractors, the fella who drove the roller actually lived with it. You know, that were his home for the steamrolling season. Really, if you have a steamroller, you really need one of these vans, because it's like the support vehicle. You've got the coal under the bed and, you know, your jam butties in the cupboard in the corner, and somewhere to put all your oil in your oil can so they don't get nicked in the middle of the night. Oh, aye, and then, of course, the wife, the dog and all the kids. The dog quite enjoys it, because it sits there on the board at the front, and after about a week on the road, it changes colour, you know, from like brown and white to a dirty grey colour. You've got to have a very good wife if you have a steam engine that understands, you know. When I got married, things were a bit rough as far as steam engines were concerned, and divorce proceedings were imminent on quite a lot of occasions. But as the years roll by, like, Alison, my wife, has gotten more liking to the thing.
They bought the roller as a rusted wreck about the time of their marriage. It was brought to its present glory by Fred's handiwork and the help of Alison's family.
I have a good mother, and she used to help me a lot. Well, when we had no money, because something was bought for the engine, I were always all right to go and get food off her. She'd fetch me something round, and she'd, you know, see that the kids were all right for clothes, and then my sisters used to fetch me clothes for them. The steam men with the engines, very few of them are married. They just think that women and steam engines don't mix at all, and they tend to look down on any wife that arrives. They think that you might try and get them to get rid of their engines, which has happened. But there's no way I'd want to get rid of ours, because we've done without to get it built up for so many years that I couldn't do without him with it. There's too much of us in it.
In the early days, they didn't have the van, and a contest developed for a place on the footplate and in the coal bunker between Alison and Fred's cronies.
I decided when Lorna was 18 months, there was too many drunken men coming round, so it was either the children and me, or else the drunken men, and the children won. We got rid of all the drunken men, and the girls ended up in the coal bunker, and it was a victory for family life.
You serve us, isn't it, like this? Pint of bitter, and you know what you do. Quick up, kids, in the backyard, can't you?
This is in the garden.
What are you on?
Two Brittany Cottage.
Coca-Cola and a lemonade, love. I suppose drinking and playing with these things is all very well if you don't do any damage. I mean, you know, I've heard of lots of instances where they've had too much pop and things have gone hopelessly wrong. You know, like one instance I can recall where in the middle of the night, you know, we'd been drinking heavily all weekend, so the chap that I had with me were unconscious and lying on the trailer at the back of the engine and sheeted up with the sheet that we covered the engine up with, and he were a great big fella, 6 foot on tall. These bloody great size 15 boots sticking out the end of the sheet, you see. And the engine surrounded with police cars. There were blue and white ones, orange and white ones, every type of police car you could imagine, and about 7 or 8 policemen as well. Nobody spoke, you see, and the chap who were with me, he's up vertical, you see. Well, this is definitely it, you know, they're going to say, I'm breathing this bag, sir. Police sergeant gets out, and the only thing I could think of to say to him was, do you like these things? And I could tell with his eyes how they lit up, they went right big, you see, just like a little lad with a new toy. And then I said, would you like a go? And his eyes went even bigger. And so I said, look, you can't drive it, you can just steer it, you see. So no more ado, he took off his tunic, gave it to his chauffeur, climbed on the engine, and we went for about 4 miles up a great big hill coming up to Bolton, covered with oil, you know, and the sun's just coming up over the Yorkshire Moor sort of thing. And he said, thanks very much, you know, sort of thing. It was quite some encounter, you know, and sort of end up with a police sergeant driving your steamroller in the middle of the night and being drunk in the bargain and not getting in any trouble, you see. In the evening, you know, at like 9 o'clock-ish and 8:30, and, you know, sort of you're chuffing along and the sun's setting, you know, it's very nice, that. All these bloody motor cars are going by at 90 miles an hour, you know, like, where are they all going, you know, sort of thing. Why has the world got to go so fast? You know, I mean, you can travel like this. Bit bumpy, but at least it's quite peaceful, you know, sort of thing.
Thank you. Fred, come out of the water. I bet you'll be glad to be nice and clean, won't you? And that little boy kept saying what he said. Why has that little boy got a dirty face? He didn't know you were a little girl, did he? Oh, what a brave girl. My word. Oh, close your eyes, and then we can get... There. Keep them closed until I've rinsed, will you? It's a good girl. Oh, you've got a rim there. We've missed that, haven't we? Have you two decided what you're wearing after?
Yeah,
straight in your pyjamas or clean trousers or what?
Clean trousers.
Like a steam engine, really, gives you sort of a form of immortality to actually resurrect one from a pile of rust. You know, you've got your stamp on it. The thing is, you know, when I'm long gone dead, you know, it'll still be here. And, you know, I mean, even if they dropped the bomb, they'd have blow all the houses down, but just roll this over into a ditch somewhere, and some, if there were anybody left, would eventually find it and sort of say, you know, this is an interesting piece, you know, like, what were they like when they made these?